Our scripture reading tonight comes from 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 3 through 11 of 2 Corinthians 1. And there Paul writes these words. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that you would illumine our minds and open our hearts, that you would help us to understand, because there are things in our lives, Father, that are very difficult to understand. And so show us your purpose and help us to find joy in your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are few things that affect a person's outlook on life more than the weather does. The weather seems to affect our outlook on life quite a bit. This past week, we were camping at the state park with a few of the other families from church. And because we had been on vacation the week before and the busyness of Marvelous Mondays and such, we didn't get out there till Tuesday and get camp set up. But Tuesday afternoon was a really nice afternoon. And we decided to have an early dinner so that we could get the little speedboat that we own out on Lake Mack and maybe take the kids tubing and stuff like that. So we had an early dinner, and we got out on the lake, and we brought the kids tubing and stuff, and it was really fun. Lots of smiles all over the place. And once the kids, I dropped the kids back off at the beach, and they were walking back to the campground with Kim and Sonia Pershbacher. Brian Pershbacher and I, since we had to bring the boat back to the launch, we decided to take just a little spin around the lake, and we were out there for a long time because it was so beautiful. The water was calm, and in that little speedboat, it's really nice to have calm water. You can just really scoot across it, you know. And I just had my arm in the water, and the wind was in my hair, and we were going across Lake Mack, and the sun, well, you couldn't really see the sun at that point, but it was getting darker. But the temperature was just perfect, and I couldn't get the smile off my face. It was beautiful. It was perfect. And if there had been enough light to stay out there all night, and if the gasoline would have held out, I would have. It was so hard to get back to the launch site. In fact, we were just about into the no-wake zone when Brian looked at his watch and said, "I think we have a bit more time." And so we turned it around, and we went back out into the lake again. It was that nice. But Tuesday night, there was a change. About 2 o'clock in the morning, Kim woke me up and said, "I hear thunder and I see lightning." And there was a lot of it. And for hours and hours, we heard the lightning and saw the thunder, and we knew that there was a change in the weather. And when we woke up Wednesday morning, things were wet. It was raining. And it had rained so much that the water had found its way into the tent, and into our sleeping bags. And the smile that I couldn't wipe off my face the night before was nowhere to be found. It was gone. Things had changed. The atmosphere had changed. It wasn't so beautiful anymore. And so the smile that I had had was gone. And then as I was packing the kids into the car Wednesday morning in the middle of the rain, I didn't have a smile on my face. I wasn't as happy as I was the night before. The weather, the conditions that we live in, have a great effect on our outlook on life. When things are beautiful, we feel beautiful. Everything's wonderful. But when things are bad, we don't feel so wonderful. And our outlook changes. Rain often washes away the joy of life. And not only wet rain in terms of the weather, but the rainy days of our lives. When things aren't going so well in our lives, we don't tend to smile that much. We don't tend to have a lot of joy in life when we're in the middle of the rainy days of life. They affect us even more so than the weather does. When things are good in our lives, it's easy to have a big smile on our face and say, "Hi, how are you? I'm fantastic." But in the rainy days, that's much harder. And a lot of times, the smiles that we had in the good times are nowhere to be found when we start to go through the rain. And that creates a great deal of difficulty for the Christian. Because the Christian life is supposed to be a life of constant joy. The apostles are always talking about the joy of the Christian life. It's everywhere. In Galatians, Paul lists joy as the second of the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, where the Spirit is, where the Spirit is growing, joy is there. It's a fundamental part of the Christian life. It's a fundamental part of the effect that the Spirit has in us, is this joy. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, when he is describing the situation that his readers have been through and the situation that they're in, he says, "Though you have not seen him," that is Christ, "you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The New Testament over and over again describes the Christian life as a life of joy. A life of joy. But it also states over and over again that the Christian life is a life where a lot of rain falls. So, the Christian life is also a life in which you find yourself in the rain quite a bit. Jesus told the disciples in John 15 that if the world hated him, which it did, then the world would hate them too, which it did. And in Romans 8:17, this is a really interesting, if you want to just look at one verse and just keep looking at it for a while, this would be a good verse to look at. Paul makes our very salvation contingent on the fact that we share in the sufferings of Christ. He says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if," don't you just love that word, "if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." He makes our very future glory contingent on the fact that along the way we have shared in his sufferings. And so the New Testament paints this picture of the Christian as one who always seems to be somehow in the rain and yet is always singing. That the Christian is singing in the rain, that they face many sufferings and trials, and yet in the midst of it all they have joy. They have joy. And that seems rather difficult to achieve because we don't tend to have joy in difficult circumstances. I don't.
And my guess is that you don't either. We tend to smile in the good times and grumble in the bad times. And yet that's not the way it's pictured for us. But how can a Christian do that? How is it that a Christian can continue to sing for joy in the midst of the rain? How can we be this thing, have this particular attitude toward life where even in the midst of difficult circumstances, we still have this inexpressible and glorious joy? We still find joy in the suffering. And the key to understanding this whole thing, said Paul, is to understand that whenever the rain begins to fall in our lives, it means God is at work. Now, we've all heard that before, and we tell people that too. We even confess that, well, I know God has a purpose in this somewhere. But what does that mean? Can we get any more than that? Can we get any more than just knowing that He has a purpose in our suffering? Maybe to get to knowing what the purpose is. Because simply knowing that He has a purpose in our suffering has never been able to bring joy to me in the midst of difficult circumstances. I've tried it. And the most I get from knowing that He has a purpose for my suffering is, the most I can get from it is, a kind of quiet bewilderment and yet a willingness to go forward. That's what I can get from it, from knowing that He has a purpose for my suffering. I get bewilderment, a bewildered willingness to go through it, but I don't get joy. And so we have to go beyond. We have to have something more than just knowing that He has a purpose for our suffering. We have to know what the purpose is. Because if we know what it is, what the purpose is in our suffering, then we might be able to look at that and say, aha, if that is the purpose, then I know in the midst of it, I can still have joy. So we need to know what it is, not just that it has a purpose. I don't think it's God's will to leave us in the dark as far as the suffering in our lives is concerned. And I don't think that we are unable to know what the suffering in our lives is for. I don't think He wants it to be that way. In fact, it seems to me that He very much wants us to know what the suffering in our lives is for, because the suffering in our lives has a purpose for us. The suffering that He sends in our lives doesn't just have a generic purpose. It has a specific purpose for us. And if we don't know what that specific purpose for us is, then the sufferings will not achieve their purpose, because we won't know to what use to put them. We won't know what to do with them unless we know what they're for, not just that they're for something. And as Paul reflects on his own suffering here, he comes up with three very concrete reasons why God brought rain to his life. And not only to his life, but also to the life of those that he was writing to. Three ways in which Paul saw God working in the rain in his life. And as he considered these three very concrete reasons why God allowed these things to happen in his life, they made it possible for him to rise above bewilderment to joy. To rise above just bewilderment and a bewildered willing to go forward anyway. To joy in the midst of his sufferings. And that's a big difference. That's a big difference. First of all, Paul says that through the rain, God binds us to one another. He begins in verse 3. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that," purpose, "so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance, of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. One of the reasons that Paul could see in his life, one of the very clear and concrete reasons for allowing the rain to fall in his life, for sufferings to come in his life, was so that he could comfort others. When you're going through a difficult situation, there's nothing that is more welcome than to be able to talk to someone who's been through the same thing. Because they can comfort you in a way that nobody else can. Even if somebody else really wants to be able to comfort you, they can't do it in the same way if they haven't experienced the same thing. But if they have experienced the same thing, and they have received the comfort of God through the midst of what they went through, then they are in a position to be able to pass that comfort on to someone else who is going through what they've already been through. And Paul could see in his life that one of the main reasons that God allowed it to rain so much was so that he could share the comfort he had received with others. So what Paul sees in the rain here, Paul sees God preparing him and equipping him to do ministry. Paul is equipped to do ministry by going through the rain. Because once he's been through it, he is then able to comfort others who are going through it too. He goes so far as to say in verse 6, "If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation." Let me read that again. "If we are distressed," said Paul, it is, and that for, the word for, means for the purpose of. "If we are distressed, it is for the purpose of your comfort and salvation." As Paul looked at the rain coming down in his life, and the distress of his life, which was a lot, he knew that God, through it, was preparing him to do ministry. Not only to comfort others, but also to bring them to salvation. And I think that that is the reason that bad things happen to people in the church as well as people outside the church. Because if it requires you to have experienced the same thing before you can really reach out to someone who's hurting, and if people in the church never hurt, how are they going to reach out to the people outside the church who do hurt? But you see, if we experience the same things that they experience, but we experience the comfort of God in Christ in the midst of it, then we are prepared and equipped to reach out to those who are going through the same thing but don't have that comfort. And we can say, "I share that with you. I share that pain with you. But you know what? I can offer you comfort. Real comfort. Because I found that comfort when I was going through that same thing." As Paul looks at the rain coming down in his life, he sees this one main purpose, that God is equipping him to do ministry. It binds him together with others. That's the purpose of the rain in his life. And that's one of the reasons that Paul had joy in the midst of suffering. But that kind of outlook, having joy in the midst of suffering, requires, doesn't it, that we see life as ministry, as Paul did. See, if we see our life as a gift to God to do ministry for him, then if we know that the purpose of our sufferings is so that God can equip us to do that ministry, then we will have reason for joy. But if we think that the purpose of our lives is simply to do our own will, to chart our own course, to do all the things that we've always wanted to do, then when the rain comes, we're going to see it as simply standing in our way. And we're still not going to have joy. unless we share God's purpose, unless we see our lives as ministry too, then we can rejoice when we see God preparing us to do that ministry. The second reason that Paul could see for allowing, or for God allowing rain in his life, was because it not only binds us to one another, but it binds us to God. He continues in verse 8. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened, that, so that, purpose, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead." When you are in such distress that you feel as though you are a walking dead man or dead woman, there is only one place to go, and that is to the one who raises the dead. And Paul could see that God had allowed the rain to come in his life, these intense sufferings to come in his life, in order that he might rely more fully on God than he already had. God was allowing the rain to come in his life not only to bind him to others, but also to bind him to himself, so that he would rely more and more fully on God. How easy it is to stop relying on God when things are going well. I mean, we might as all just admit that right off the bat, that when things are going well, your prayer life diminishes, right? Like immediately. You think of God much less than you do when times are bad. Don't you? I do. But when the rain starts falling and you wonder how you're going to get through, then all of a sudden we realize that it's not about us, but it's about binding ourselves to God. And it's only through the rain that he does it. This reason is a bit more difficult to accept than the first, though. I mean, it's not any more difficult to accept in theory. Of course, lots of things are easy to accept in theory. It's a lot harder to accept in reality. Because accepting this purpose for rain in our lives means, by definition, that we aren't what we should be. If we say that one of the reasons that God allows rain in our lives is because he had to teach us to rely more fully on him than we were, what we're saying is we weren't relying fully enough on him. And that's hard to admit. It's especially hard to admit in the church, right? Because we assume that we're all perfect Christians. Or maybe we know we're not, but we assume that everybody else is. And it's hard to admit that we've gone through difficult times, and one of the reasons God allowed those difficult times in us was so that we would rely more fully on him. But Paul isn't at all ashamed. You think of that? The Apostle Paul, the missionary to the Gentiles, the father of the faith of these Christians here, writes to them and says, "I suffered these things so that God would show me that I had to rely more fully on him." That, in a strange way, that is a very powerful thing to hear from somebody, especially somebody that you look up to. There are few things that are more powerful for a young person to hear than to hear their parent or their grandparent or somebody else at church or somebody that they know say to them, "You know what? Through this, God has taught me to rely more fully on him." I don't understand all of that, but I know that really hits me when I hear somebody say that. Because you know it's true, right? Nobody would say it if it wasn't. That God is working in them, and they are giving themselves over to him. It's hard to accept. It's a much more humbling reason to have rain in your life. But why shouldn't we accept it? Why shouldn't we readily accept it?
Because which of us would say, who of us would say, that we rely fully on God and that we never have to be reminded and that we never stray?
The second concrete reason that Paul gives for the rain in his life is that God is teaching him to rely more heavily on him. But for that to cause us joy, for that to bring joy in the midst of difficulty, requires that we both admit the need for it and submit to his purpose in it. To not hold out and say, well, it certainly can't be because I'm not relying on him enough, but to readily admit that none of us do. And to learn that lesson as quickly as possible so that God's purpose can be done. See, we have to want what God is doing in order for us to have joy in what God is doing. If God is trying to cause us to rely more fully on him, then the only way we're going to have joy in that is for that to be our goal too, to want to rely more fully on him. And then Paul gives us the last reason, a reason that kind of comes from the first two, because it's in some ways a combination of the first two. The first two, the binding that it does, it binds us together, but it also binds us to God. And from both of those things, Paul says, it brings us to prayer. He writes in the second half of verse 10, "On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." The rain in our lives binds us together. It binds us to God. And as it does that, it brings us to prayer. Paul is confident as he looks at the rain, the torrent of rain in his life, and the great difficulty he had just experienced. He is confident that God will continue to deliver them as they help him with their prayers, as they lift up the concerns of Paul and his companions before God, as they share in his suffering by interceding on his behalf with God. Then he's sure and confident that God will continue. The community of faith is bound together through the rain in each of our lives because it gives us something to use to comfort others, to reach out to others, to encourage others. We're bound to God in these things because they show us more and more clearly that we can't do it without him. And as both of these things are happening, the rain causes us all to pray for ourselves, for one another. They're all happening at the same time. And as God answers the prayers of many that go up for one another, the whole of God's people, Paul says, lifts up another song of praise. Then many will give thanks, he said. The end of this, the end of these sufferings, the end of your helping us by your prayers and the prayers of many lifted up to God is that many will give thanks to God for the way he answers prayer. Wednesday morning, I didn't have a big smile on my face as I was packing the kids into the car in the middle of the rain. But I didn't have a big smile on my face because I was looking at the way the rain was standing in the way of what I wanted. The way the rain was standing in the way of what my plans were for the day. I'm sure that if I had been a farmer, I wouldn't have looked at the rain in the same way. In a thing like this, it's all about perspective, isn't it? If I had been a farmer and I had seen the rain, I would realize that the rain is coming to grow things. That the rain has a purpose, and the purpose is a good purpose, and my livelihood depends on that purpose. And so for us to find joy in the rain of our lives requires that we see the rain as having a purpose,
And the purpose is a good purpose. And we are dependent on that purpose. And it's only then that we can be the way the New Testament describes us, as people who are often quite wet, but are always singing, always having joy in the rain, because we know that God is accomplishing His purpose through it all. Let's change our lives tonight. It isn't often that I could say that, but let's change our lives tonight. Just change them by the way we look at the rain. Because we all are looking at the rain. But let's change the way we look at it. Because if we change the way we look at it, and we look at it through God's eyes and not ours, we will find not bewilderment, but a strange kind of joy, knowing that God's purposes are being done in us. Not vague purposes, not unknowable purposes, not purposes that we're only going to know when we get to heaven and God explains it all, but very concrete purposes. And let us offer ourselves to His purposes by offering our experience to one another, our experience of comfort, to those here in the body, to those outside the body, by giving ourselves to God and admitting that we don't rely on Him as we should, and by praying for one another and sharing our needs with one another so they can be prayed for. A lot of needs there are a lot of people bearing burdens because they don't want to share the need they have. But if one of the reasons for that need is to bind us to one another, and that the prayers of many may go up, and that we could praise God for answering those prayers, then why do we hold them back? Why don't we share them? Let's pray. Lord God, we know that oftentimes it's raining in our lives, and each one of us, if we spent enough time, we could come up with several things that we would change in a heartbeat if we could. But we confess, Lord, that in it all, You do have a purpose. And we confess too, Father, that one of the reasons it's hard for us is because Your purpose is not fully our purpose. So in the midst of it all, Lord, even in the midst of the confusion, we ask that You would help us to see Your purpose. And we lay ourselves before You, Lord, that Your purpose might be done. For we want to have joy. We want to have joy. Please build it in us as we give ourselves to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.